back to EcoTalk, and I'm happy to be introducing a new author. Jordan Fisher-Smith has written a book called Nature Noir, and if that's not an intriguing enough title, you'll find that the further down we dig, it's getting even more interesting. It's not what you think, and it's also not so simple that nature is just a beautiful place where beautiful things happen, la la la, that need to be protected no matter what. It's also a place where humans gather, especially sometimes some unsavory characters, and that's part of what Jordan Fisher-Smith's work is about. So thanks for joining us. I want to jump right in. You were a park ranger for many years. You patrolled 48 miles of American River canyons that were supposed to be flooded by the Auburn Dam, and that was never built, I understand. And tell us, first of all, what made you write a book about your experience as a ranger?
Well, you know, I worked a lot of places. I started out in the Tetons in Wyoming and Idaho as a wilderness ranger and firefighter. And I worked at Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks in the southern Sierra Nevada, where you have the largest trees in the world and the tallest mountain in the lower 48 states. And I worked on the California coast, and I worked for a while in Alaska. But I spent more years than any other place in these American river canyons. And I think what I set out to do when I wrote Nature Noir is not only to tell the story of these canyons, and maybe we'll talk later about why they're so haunted, but also to tell what rangers are, what they do, and sort of what they believe in. I felt like this is a tiny profession, very few people do it, and it's not what you think, as you mentioned a moment ago.
And you, I understand, among other things, suffered from Lyme disease as a result of being on the job and being bitten by a tick. I have a friend who's a ranger in Grizzly Park in Berkeley in the Bay Area, and he's also suffering from Lyme disease from, you know, being exposed on the job. We won't jump in right there, but tell us about some of your harrowing experiences. I understand just in this particular place where you patrolled some 42,000 rugged acres, you came across armed squatters, gold prospectors, fugitives from the law, and over the course of the next decade working there, you saw some 36 people perish, or at least investigated what happened to them in accidents, murders, and suicides.
Yeah, that's right. And again, I mean, I think this is not what you imagine a ranger doing, and it certainly isn't what I imagined when I started out. I thought, I guess, that I was going to be going backpacking on government time and do a little bird watching and flower identification. And I got to do a lot of that, and it continues to be the source of great joy for me. But I found out that what I would be facing is every kind of human experience, from the nicest ones where I get to show kids things they've never seen before, to rather dark ones. Investigating death, for example, is not what you imagine park rangers doing. And, of course, in Nature Noir, I talk about investigating the death of the first Californian in 100 years to be killed and eaten by a mountain lion, which just happened to occur on my shift. So I guess, again, it's basically any kind of thing that happens with human beings can happen outside the city limits.
And you love the natural world, and that's why you took this job, but you really learned a lot about human existence.
That's really true. There's that wonderful quote from Sherlock Holmes in Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's novels, you know, Sherlock Holmes novels, where he says to Watson, you know, his sidekick, "It is my belief, Watson, founded upon my experience, that the lowest and vilest alleys of London do not present a more dreadful record of sin than does the smiling and beautiful countryside." And I guess that sort of encapsulates in Holmes' time the feeling that whatever human beings can bring with them, they bring when they come outdoors. And a park rangers, of course, work under a rather bad situation of understaffing and budget cutting now, so they have to face things that are quite serious, often by themselves, and that was certainly the case with me.
Is that what you mean when you use the term the thin green line?
Yeah, the thin green line, that's right. It's that's actually appropriated from the newsletter of the International Ranger Federation. We now talk to each other all over the world, and the situation in America is serious with rangers. Being understaffed, they do dangerous things alone. And as I said in Nature Noir, my book, this is the most dangerous line of work in federal law enforcement. I'm sure you wouldn't expect that, would you?
No, and is Lyme disease one of those threats? Because I know we're seeing more of it.
Considering Lyme disease, a park ranger is park ranger in the National Park Service or park policeman is 13.9 times as likely to be killed or injured on duty by a human assailant than agents of the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration.
So your book is not only about the threats to our national parks, which we've covered a lot on EcoTalk, but threats to people who patrol them. And I guess I just want to know what you'd like our listeners to know. What can they do about this? Nature Noir, it's obviously a look at the dark side, not just nature. Nature didn't do anything wrong, but what takes place in nature.
You know, I tried to make Nature Noir also a look at the beauty of what I was doing and what surrounded me, and that continues to be such a strong motivation for me, and I think all the rangers who continue to work out there. But among the things that people can do, I think, you know, we're facing another budget cycle on the national parks, and the Bush administration is trying to make a $100 million cut to the Park Service budget from what it had even by 2001. So people can write their legislators, and there are good websites now that government has to find your congressperson. It's very easy to find out who your congressperson or senator is and write them and tell your congressman or senator, or write a letter to the editor saying to your paper saying how much you would support the Park Service budget remaining even what it was in 2001. And secondly, you can adopt a park. Everybody seems to have a place where they took their honeymoon or had a special family vacation, a place they feel close to. And you can start bird dogging things that are going on in that park by going through the www.nps.gov website. That's the National Park Service's website. Find your park and then look at the news releases and see what's going on there. And start writing letters to people and agitating for the survival of your favorite park.
And how's the book being received?
Well, the book surprised me. You know, I didn't know that a few dusty rangers in a condemned canyon in the Sierra Nevada would interest people. And, you know, the reviews have been fantastic, and the book became a bestseller out here for a little while last year. And I ended up on a book tour that seems endless. I think I've done 73 book signings and lectures in 13 states now, and I'm just finishing in Washington, D.C. this July 7th.
I'm so glad to hear that. We just have about 30 seconds left. Would you say that your experience is typical of backcountry ranger experience, or was yours an isolated case, do you think, interesting as it is?
You know, it's so funny that I thought when I wrote this book that my experience was different, but I get letters from rangers all over who have the same kinds of problems I did, all the way down to the Caribbean, where rangers on Dry Tortugas National Park in the islands out 70 miles off the tip of Florida there are facing the largest influx of Cuban immigrants.
Thank you, Jordan. I'm afraid we're out of time, but I want to encourage people to go out and get Nature Noir. Very interesting spin. Great book. Jordan Fisher-Smith is the author. Thanks for joining us for this edition of EcoTalk. We'll see you next time.